Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this evening as well. Our telephone lines are open if you'd like to get on with us tonight and have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We encourage you to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll be with you till midnight tonight. I hope if you're out on the road, you're keeping an eye on the weather. We just drove up from Summit County up here to the station, and it was actually a lot better than what I expected. We left our house. It was 38 degrees. It rained on the way up, and it was at least 38, if not 40 or so, when we got out of the car up here at the station, and still sprinkling. So it's supposed to cut in, or the cold weather is supposed to cut in here a little bit later on tonight. Not sure when. Hopefully it'll still be just raining when we go home tonight. But if you're out driving tonight, keep an eye on the weather. And if you got to be somewhere tomorrow, it might be a good idea to get up early and just check with the radio or the television, see what's going on out there on the roadways. Well, let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless, use the program for your glory, help us point people to Christ, and again, help us to answer questions that would help people in their walk with Christ, and that we could be glorifying and pleasing to thee in all that we talk about and used for your glory. Just thank you again for the opportunity. Thank you for another year that you've given us here in this year 2014. Bless and use us, watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, again, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, toll free. And we've already got Robert and Willoughby on the line. And Robert, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
There's a question that's driven me crazy over the years. I've never had a good answer, but you probably have an answer for me. The whole idea of inspiration of Scripture, of course, mm-hmm. I believe the Bible says it's inspired. But in a real sense, that's kind of circular reasoning because, you know, it says it's inspired because that makes it inspired. So, you know, is there some other way to prove or show that the Bible is inspired other than just referring to the Bible itself?
Yeah, that actually is a very good question because you're right. To a certain degree, it is a circular form of reasoning because we believe the Bible is inspired because, well, first, was it 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And there's some other passages, you know, throughout the Bible, and God said, and thus saith the Lord, was it 2 Peter, I think, chapter 1, where it says that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we see the book that claims that it's inspired of God, saying that it's inspiring of God. And if that's all there was to it, that would be a fairly shaky basis for faith. Yeah. It really would. And that's why one of the things I try to bring out on the program here is that, you know, you don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. You know, a lot of people, they approach the Bible, well, I don't think about it, just believe it. Just believe it. Now, an element of that is true. But God doesn't leave us without reason to believe what's there. And in reality, a lot of the prophecy that's in the Bible, the prophetic things, not just the prophecies referring to Christ, but prophecy of specific things that would occur in history and events and such not. Those prophecies that were given and then fulfilled, oftentimes the fulfillment can be found outside of the scripture. You can find it in established history. And those fulfilled prophecies tell us that it's reasonable to believe the Bible's claim that it's given by inspiration of God. Not only the prophecies, but you have the historical statements in the Bible. At one time, they thought that when Abraham was called out of Ur the Chaldees, that people at that time had not even developed writing. They were still just kind of like little more than semi-advanced cavemen and very limited vocabulary, and writing had not been invented at that time. And so there could not have been this civilization that was built up around Ur the Chaldees, until one day some archaeologist poking around found a library of clay cylinders, I guess, they were records that dated back to Abraham's time. And not only did they have, you know, some important things, but they also had things like sales receipts and property titles and things of that nature. And kind of like if you found the county recorder's office and you found the stuff that was recorded there. And for that kind of stuff to have been stored in this library shows that they had a very complex society, and the archaeologists had to say, well, guess what? In Abraham's time, they did have an advanced civilization. I think the people called the Hittites in the Bible, many years, people said, oh, there is no such thing as Hittites. Nobody's ever found them. The Bible just invented them. They didn't exist until they found evidence of the whole Hittite civilization. And so, you know, on and on and on, the historical accuracy of the Bible is unparalleled for any other book of its antiquity. And so the historical accuracy gives you reason to believe that the Bible is just what it says it is, given by inspiration of God. And then there's the scientific accuracy, a variety of things. The currents in the oceans, those are described in the Bible. The water cycle, how that water evaporates into the air, gets carried up in clouds, and the clouds then rain down on the earth, and it flows through the streams and back to the ocean, and then again up into the air and makes that cycle. That's described in the Bible. The global circulation of air from the north to the south, that's described in the Bible, how that the air moves, and we see that the air is heated in the tropic regions, and then it flows to the northern latitudes where it cools, and then it sinks down, and then it flows south. And that's what we're getting here, getting ready to receive here in Northeast Ohio, is a polar air blast where the air is flowing south out of the Arctic region, and getting ready to drop our temperatures here sometime tonight down well below zero. And then as those air moves its way south, then it warms up again and moves north again. And you know, just over and over, the scientific accuracy. One of my favorites is the Bible says that God makes a way for the lightning of the thunder. And in the 1960s, with high-speed photography, they shot up model rockets trailing a wire to try and trigger lightning bolts so that they could photograph them, see what happens. Really? Huh. And they discovered that a flash of lightning occurs too quick for the eye to register prior to the bolt that you see. And that flash, there's charged streamers that reach up from the ground that interact with charged streamers reaching down from the clouds. And where they connect, a bolt of lightning flashes up from the ground to the cloud, and that makes the way for the lightning. And the lightning follows that path down to the ground. And that's what bolt we see. And that's then, of course, the thunder occurs as a result of the lightning. And that's in the Bible. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Medical accuracy, the fact that the male babies were circumcised on the eighth day, time when their blood would have been most able to clot properly and also resistant to infection.
Yeah, you know, there's a book, you may have heard of it. I don't know if it's still published, but it's called None of These Diseases, and it's probably out of publication now, but refers to...
What book was that again?
It's called None of These Diseases.
Mm-hmm.
In reference to the Old Testament quote about eat this particular diet and you will suffer none of these diseases.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of the... That you bring up a really good thing. You know, for instance, the Jews were prohibited from eating pork. And see, pigs are an animal that eats just about anything. They're a scavenger. And if you notice, many of the other unclean foods... oysters, shrimp, shellfish, various types, clams and such, as well as things like vultures and hawks and owls. And these are all scavengers, things that ate dead flesh. And God told them not to eat them. And, you know, cooking and things of that nature, if the food is not taken and handled correctly and refrigerated properly and all that, it would have been very easy to get sick from those things, and people did. I mean, there's just many things like that, medical facts that are in the Bible. And
the only thing that gnawing it back in my mind is this. I recognize, especially from the archaeological digs and everything, that the Bible... Every time they dig up something else, the Bible is proven to be more true. And those facts, historical facts, and even scientific facts.
Right.
I look at the Bible for moral truth. And
that's there, too.
But see, now, that's something you can't prove from historical fact or scientific fact.
Yeah.
You believe it because the Lord said it's the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, moral truths that you live by. One of my favorites is... The book of Ephesians and being a soldier of Christ and putting on the armor of Christ. But that's not historical or scientific. It's just moral truth the Lord is trying to tell us.
Well, and when you think about that, what happened is the other things, the scientific, historical, medical, all those things, facts that are in the Bible, those make it reasonable to believe that those moral truths are just exactly that, truths.
Reasonable, I can see reasonable, but I need something stronger than that, something that is, you know.
Well, ultimately, you know, anybody that accepts the Bible as God's word and inspired by God, ultimately it's going to come down to faith. And
it's a gift of the grace.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes, I believe.
Yeah, but it is
when I'm trying
faith.
To find,
yeah.
When I argue with my non-believer friends, you know, I argued to my blue in my face, and they say, you know, how do you prove? And actually, when you go to those other theories, historical and archaeological, in a sense, are we violating the whole idea of sola scriptura by taking something that important?
Well,
arguing it from something that's not even the Bible.
I would differ with that. Because I don't think you're violating sola scriptura, because what you're doing is you're saying, well, the Bible said this, and science verifies it. The Bible says this, history and archaeology verifies it. The Bible said this, and medical knowledge verifies it. And it's just like in the Gospel of John chapter 22, where the Bible says, talking about the things that Jesus did, and he says there in the last two verses of chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So it's saying that the miracles that Jesus did during his earthly ministry, even before the Gospels were written, they substantiated his claim that he was the Messiah, and then through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were inspired to record a variety of miracles that Jesus did to give us reason to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing we might have life through his name. And that's why God put the prophecy in the Bible. That's why he put the historical accuracy. The primary purpose of the Bible is not history, science, or prophecy.
Moral truth.
Yeah, it's to point to Jesus mm-hmm. Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior.
Yeah, and see, well, that's where I'm not quite there yet. I know my non-believers would not believe, but you're right. It comes down to faith and the grace. Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately because the non-believer is in a position where they're saying, well, based on what I know and what I've seen, I don't have enough reason to believe the Bible as yet. Instead, my reason dictates that I should believe something else. And so they're making the same faith-based choice. It's just like I've mentioned before on the radio, I have a biology degree, and I bring that up because I studied evolution intently. And I had a fourth-year professor in a forest biology class, and at the end of the semester, he was candid with the class, and he said, I choose to believe evolution. In other words, he said it was a choice that he made. He said, because the only other alternative is special creation, and I don't want to believe that. So what he was telling us as, you know, we were seniors in fourth year class in college, Colorado State University, and he was saying, I have chosen to believe what evolution teaches rather than what the Bible teaches, because I don't want to believe what the Bible teaches. So he made a faith-based choice to believe contrary to the Bible. And he was candid. It was a faith-based choice.
Yeah.
And
from his will.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people are doing. For instance, a Muslim chooses to believe that the Quran is more authentic than the Bible. And so everybody is making a choice to believe or not believe based on information, sometimes conscious or unconsciously. They're making a choice to believe or not believe the Bible. And your unsaved friends are just as much motivated by their faith to not believe the Bible as a Christian would be motivated by faith to believe the Bible. So the idea of trying to make something a non-faith-based argument really is kind of doomed in the from the very beginning, because it really can't be done.
I'm kind of giving them permission
to believe
what's not true, because I'm saying, well, if you don't have the gift of faith,
yeah,
you're not going to believe me anyway.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, that's not going to give this, and that's not going to save this all. I can't give them that permission, because I got to save this all.
Yeah. Look at it this way. Do you believe that George Washington lived and that he was the president of the United States of America?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever see him?
Oh, you're right, yeah, of course.
Do you know anybody that physically saw him or talked with him?
Right.
All we have is evidence. It's like being in a court of law where, you know, they have to present evidence. And so you don't know necessarily 100% objectively that something is one way or the other, but the attorneys on various sides hope to give you enough evidence or information to sway you to say, well, you know, I might not be 100%, but it's reasonable to believe this person is guilty, or it's reasonable to believe this person is innocent. It's not necessarily 100%, but it is a reasonable belief. And there's enough out there with history and science and medicine and all that and everything and prophecy that it's reasonable to believe the Bible.
Right, yeah. That's
where I'm coming from, yeah.
Well, thanks. You give me some ammo to use.
And ultimately, that's the faith-based portion of it, and that's why you need to pray for an unsaved person, because they're blinded by the god of this world, that's the devil, and he's blinded them lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should break through. He doesn't want them to see the truth, and when we give them information, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so eventually, as the Holy Spirit of God moves upon their heart and brings light into the darkness, they begin to see that it makes sense to believe the Bible, and then they're in a position where they can make a choice. You know, do I want to believe this or reject it?
Yeah, and you know, I heard recently someone say, if you display the joy of Christianity, then people will say, I want what you have, and they don't have to reason it out.
There might be a certain amount of that for some people. I mean, certainly if you're going around going, oh, it's such a joy to be a Christian. I just can't stand it. Don't you want what I want?
Right.
They're really going to jump for that, aren't they?
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
You give me a lot of good arguments. I'll try them out.
Well, okay. Hey, I appreciate your conversation tonight, your questions
all
there.
Right.
That's
thank
good
you.
Things
God
to
bless
think about. All right. Thanks for calling. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we have Grover on the line patiently waiting. Grover, welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hey, I've been trying to call you for the last couple of weeks. You know what? People come on, they want to have a little respect. Don't stay on no half an hour because I'm going to prepay. I got two questions and then I'm going to hang up. And
okay.
Okay, you know the pastor at the church, right?
Uh-huh.
You've met him. Okay, he brought in some books.
Mm-hmm.
Easy reading Bible, right?
Okay, well, you mean like a simplified Bible? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, easier. Okay, I told him, hey, if it's not a King James, the King James is my Bible. That's the Bible that I believe that God ordained for us Christians. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of one. I looked into that one, and then I got another question to ask you, and then I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
It talks about, I think it might be in Luke, I'm not sure, but it was talking about the descendants. That's when Elizabeth was getting ready to have her baby, okay?
Uh-huh.
I know it's a seventh verse. I believe it's in Luke, the first chapter. It says they were daughters of Aaron. Elizabeth was. Aaron, it says the daughters of Aaron, right? Which was talking about Elizabeth. Okay, the one he brought in, it says they were descendants. I said, hey, Kent. The descendants and daughters are two different things. I'm gonna let you hang on that one, and I'm going to hang up. But here's another thing. Are you there?
Yes, I was just looking up that in Luke chapter 1.
I've had so much disagreement with him. Okay, I watch TV. A commercial that comes on, my son and I for years has been very correspondent with St. Jude's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I see, though, we followed the little babies for 4 years, and they died. I pray for St. Jude's Hospital. I don't care if it's concerned with a Catholic. And I told K-E-N, you know, I told him, hey, he come up with some negative things about Marla Thomas, Danny Chalmers. I said, hey, those might be some negative things about them. I said, the main thing that we look at are those little babies that St. Jude and the donations are saving. 92% of those babies is going in. I said, the concern is not what
Well, and the Thomases are not running St. Jude, but I just for time's sake there, Grover, because they had a couple of things before people forget what you brought
well,
up.
I'm going to hang up and then you...
Yeah, I want to address them here before the break if I could.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and you just tell me, am I right?
Okay. Yeah, let me hit the simplified Bible real quick. In the English language, yeah, I believe you're correct. You should stick with the King James. And that's God's word preserved in the English language. And a lot of times people say, well, it's too complicated. Well, no, you just have to put some, you know, time into reading it. No matter how much you simplify the Bible, people will always find an excuse not to read it. If you could rewrite Genesis to say, see God create the world, see God create Adam, see God create Eve. You know, people would say, that's too complicated. I don't understand what it's saying. And that's a problem. We rather than dumb down the Bible, we need to educate and build up our people. That's a problem with that. The other one in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was one of the daughters, or of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. That means that she's a descendant of Aaron. She's the daughter's, just like I am, you know, the one of the sons of my great-grandfather, whose name was Daniel Morgan Davis. I'm one of the sons of Daniel Morgan Davis in the sense that I'm a descendant of him. Now, I'm not a son, actual son in that sense. I'm my father's son. I'm Daniel Morgan Davis's great-grandson, along with my other brothers and my male cousins that are descended from him. But we are the sons. I'm a son of Noah. I'm a son of Adam in that sense. Just as Jesus was a son of David, he's one of many sons of David. Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, the husband of Mary, was a son of David. His mother, Mary, was a daughter of David. So in that sense, now the New International Version does change that to a descendant of Aaron. And I don't know why descendant of Aaron makes it more clear than daughter of Aaron. Daughter of Aaron is more specific. A daughter is a descendant, but it's a female descendant, just like an oak tree is a tree, but it's different than a maple tree. Well, we've got another half hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al left. Be here till midnight, so stay tuned for the second half of our program here tonight.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And our phone lines are open. We had a busy first half, and you can get in. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. Of course, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us, but also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. They are located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. East Coast Pizza has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese, and a whole lot more in addition to some of the best pizzas around. You can also call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery. If you mentioned that you heard about them here, I just mentioned Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5 at East Coast Pizza. Pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business, maybe in the new year, you're thinking about trying something, getting into business for yourself, and you have looked into franchises and they're awful expensive, well, why don't you give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100, and Gus can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100, at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. All right, we're going to get back to our program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. That's at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And as we get into some topics here this evening as well, one of the things that I was looking at here, and I had a piece of paper and I misplaced it talking here during the break. I'll find it here in a minute. But the idea of, you know, putting our faith in Christ, the Bible says that when we trust Christ as our Savior, that's what I want to talk about, building on the idea of faith in the last half hour. You know, you cannot ultimately believe the Bible, and you cannot ultimately become a Christian without an element of faith. And so we oftentimes we try to reach unsaved people with everything but the Word of God. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to provide the Word of God eventually. And we need to realize people are not coming from a non-faith position to a faith position. We're just asking them to switch where their faith is, because for many unbelievers, their faith is in some other religion, their faith is in some philosophy, their faith is in their own thinking, their faith is in something other than the Bible. And that's where it ultimately comes down to. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, meaning God. And so we put our faith and trust in Christ. We call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saves us. And it's ultimately a faith-based step. That's why we need to pray for people. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We have Kara from Cleveland calling in. Kara, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
I had a question regarding the rapture,
mm-hmm.
and I've been talking to some people who are extremely dogmatic in their beliefs, and I just wondered if that should be so, or is there room to differ without separating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's pre-trib, post-trib.
Right. Yeah, and are you looking at the difference between like pre-trib and post-trib? Is
right.
Right, and for people who are listening, we talk about the rapture. That's even though the term rapture is not in the Bible, it refers to the catching away of the believers. And there's some people who just simply don't believe it's going to happen. I guess you could say a no-trib, but in that sense. But for believers who believe that God, they believe the record. And First Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 are two of the best chapters, the last half of 1 Corinthians 15, on teaching on the catching away of the believers is very explicit, and there's other passages, of course, referring to it as well. But among people who believe that God is going to catch away the believers out of this world, like you're saying, some people believe that it's going to happen prior to the seven-year tribulation period. And then, of course, there's people who believe that it'll happen at the conclusion of the seven-year tribulation period. And then there's also two other positions. There's mid-trib, which believes it'll happen at the middle of the tribulation. And then there's pre-wrath, which I first heard about pre-wrath in the late 80s, I think it was. And it's kind of a modified modified mid-trib tribulation idea. It's the idea that believers will be in part of the tribulation, but they'll be taken out before the wrath of God begins to come on the world because of the passage that says we're not appointed under wrath. And I would maintain that wrath starts at the beginning of the tribulation when the first seals of the book are broken and the four horsemen of the apocalypse go out on the world. I'm a pre-trib believer and teacher myself. I believe that's what's naturally taught in the scriptures. Now, would I refuse to have anything to do with a believer who believed in the rapture, but maybe differed on the timing of it? I would talk with them, and maybe we'd reach a point where we would have to agree to disagree, but certainly whether you believe the rapture is going to take place at the beginning of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation or somewhere in between, it's not going to keep you out of heaven, whether you believe one way or not. What's going to keep people out of heaven is whether or not they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior. Does that kind of help there a little bit?
Yes, and a question of, well, not similar vein, but in the practice of voting in an election, is ever not voting an option? If you feel that none of the candidates represent a Christian viewpoint, is it ever all right just to abstain your vote?
Well, you absolutely have the right to do that. Now, the process of doing that, I would say that if you were in that position and just as a little bit of disclosure, I am one of the people that when you have an election, you go in and you ask for a ballot, you know, and the people give you the ballot and check your name off in the book and direct you to where you mark your ballot or run it into the reader or whatever you do, you know, the voting process. I do that. And so I'm kind of, you know, involved in that. So I know a little bit about that. And I see people who never show up in the primaries, for instance. This is one of my pet peeves. They don't show up in the primaries, and then they complain about who's on the ballot in the general election. What I suggest is that if somebody does not like anybody that's on the ballot, rather than throw away your vote by not voting, go into your polling place, request a ballot so that you can be registered that you showed up, and then just don't mark anything. There's no law that says you have to mark something on the ballot. You can file a blank ballot. Now, in Summit County, I don't know what county you're in. Cleveland, you're in Cuyahoga County. In Summit County, we have a ballot where you fill out the little oval next to your choice, like the test that we all did when we were in school where you had to fill in the little oval and darken it completely. And then we take it over to a machine, so you have a paper ballot, and you put it into the machine, which is basically a scanner, and it scans the ballot, and then it records the votes on a memory card. And at the end of the day, that machine totals up all of that, and the Board of Elections gets all that information off the memory card, and so they can see who voted. And then the paper ballots are stored in case there needs to be a recount or there's a problem with the machine or the card gets damaged or something. And if you undervote, because a lot of times probably people have seen on their ballot something they'll say like in Richfield Village, for instance, they'll have a thing saying vote for not more than three of the following five candidates, you know, for village council, let's say. And you can vote for three, or you can vote for two, or you can vote for one, or you can vote for zero. And here's the advantage of turning in a blank ballot. One, you're checked off in the voter book that shows that you showed up to vote. That shows that the voter percentage, the voter turnout, is up rather than down, which suggests that people don't care. And the fact that there's undervotes, which is what that would register as, an undervote, that there's undervotes where people did not vote in certain, you know, of the categories, that suggests that people filed ballots but did not choose to vote there. And that would say, you know what, there's something wrong here. Maybe we need to look at this. Why are people filing blank ballots? So you send a message by showing up to vote but filing a blank ballot, you know, in that sense. If you just stay home, there's no message sent other than voter apathy. And so that's what I encourage people to do. And Christians, I think, of all people, should be going to the polls, whether you file a blank ballot or whether you vote for the, you know, hold your nose and vote for the least objectionable. Mm-hmm. Even if you go and flip a coin as to who to vote for, at least you showed that you're interested and engaged. And they do a lot of studies through voter surveys and people who do surveys when you leave the polling location. And a lot of these companies like Gallup and things like that, they crunch that data. And if the data shows that Christians don't care to show up to vote, then guess what? The Republican Party, the Democrat Party, other political parties, they're not going to be too concerned what the Christians think. And in the long run, it's not going to help advance the cause of Christ in terms of trying to get good, godly people on the ballots, because the people who run these parties are going to say, the Christians talk a lot, but they never show up at the polls. And if Christians want to influence who's on the ballots, Christians need to get involved. And the very basic involvement is showing up at the polls. And, you know, in a couple of years, let's see, what is it? Not next year, but the following year, I think it's 2 years from now. I believe it is. We're going to be having primaries. And mm-hmm. Christians need to get out. They need to get involved. And if you're in the Republican Party, if you're in the Democrat Party, if you're in the Constitution Party or the Green Party or the Libertarian Party, whatever it is, Christians need to get involved at the county level, if at all possible, or even if it's just getting involved in the local level. I'm saying this not to single any particular group out, but Parma, for instance, I know somebody who's active in, the Parma Republicans, and they're Christian, and they're involved in that, and by doing that, they're influencing in the city of Parma the candidates that are going to be put forward for local elections. A Christian that's involved at the Cuyahoga County Republican or Cuyahoga County Democrat office headquarters, they're going to be able to be in a position to let their voice be heard, let their opinions be known among people who are going to be selecting candidates to go on the ballot. And quite frankly, if Christians do not show up with the parties and register their opinions and try to encourage them to bring godly individuals onto the ballots, the parties aren't going to listen to Christians, because the parties are not necessarily Christian. The Republican Party's not the Christian Party. It's the Republican Party. The Democrat Party's not the Christian Party either. It's the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. And same with all the other ones. If we do not get involved, we can't influence them. And so I probably went a little further than what you were initially asking. But I believe in blank ballots. And that's how I believe that if you're not going to vote, you should show up at the poll it'll register that you're involved, but it'll also register, because you're not voting in these categories, that you're unsatisfied. And if enough people do that, you can bet that the people at the parties that are, you know, trying to get people on those ballots are going to start taking note. And it'll also give you an opportunity. You know, a lot of issues get decided by the small minority of people who show up at a primary election. There's a lot. You can go to a primary election. A lot of people don't know this as well. You can go to a primary election. Let's say that they had an issue on the ballot, whether or not same-sex marriage should be recognized in Ohio, and it's on during a primary election. The people who show up for the primaries are going to decide that issue. You can show up for a primary election and ask for an issues-only ballot, and you could just vote an issues-only ballot. You don't have to pick a Republican or a Democrat ballot or some other ballot. You can just pick an issues only. But Christians need to get out there. The Bible says we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. And if we don't exercise the right that we have to vote, there's some countries in the world, if you're known to be a Christian, you are not allowed to vote. You're not allowed to hold public office. Here's another thing that people should think about. Christians should get involved. I like what somebody said, even if it's just running for dog catcher, you know, whatever it is, you get your foot in the door. And if Christians start getting elected on county councils, school boards, local school boards, dog catcher, the water department, wherever it is, if it's a public office and you can qualify to run for it, Christians ought to be encouraging each other to run for these offices so that we begin to get our voice heard. You know, another way I try to advocate for some of these things through the radio. That's one of the things we hope to do on the radio, is encourage people to use their Christian faith to influence how they make their choices at the ballot. And, you know, it's important. A lot of people suffered and died to get us the right that we have to vote and to preserve that right. And it shouldn't be taken lightly by Christians. So,
good suggestions. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your call tonight, Karen. It's one of those things that we don't get to as much during the busy election years, like when there's a presidential or a governor race or something like that. But it's important for people to be thinking that now. There's going to be a variety of local and county level positions, up for grabs, you know, throughout the listening area that Christians can go get involved in. And they can either run independent, they can run on the Republican ticket, run on the Democrat ticket, or run on the Green Party ticket or whatever, but got to get involved. Or the secular side of things, they're never going to listen to the Christian voice. So I hope that helps you out there.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, well, thank you, Karen. I hope you have a wonderful new year. God bless you. And thanks for the call. And
you're
appreciate
welcome.
That. Appreciate that. Again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We've covered quite a variety of topics so far. And the phone number, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Jeremiah from Cleveland calling in next. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Hi,
good evening.
Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yes, you're talking about the pre-tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in that, too. I believe that, you know, we'll be raptured before the tribulation happens.
Right. And you know, there's a good reason for that, and we didn't spend much time on that with the last caller, but one of the very good reasons, and I did indicate it, we're not appointed under wrath, but also the time of the tribulation is a time of judgment of Israel and the world that has rejected God, not for the believers. But that's another part of it. But go ahead.
Yeah, I believe in a rapture. Some preachers don't believe in a rapture, but some preachers do believe in it, some don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very clear in the Bible that there is a catching away. And while we're on the subject, they make a big deal sometimes. I've heard people make a big deal, though the word rapture is not in the Bible. But here's exactly where we get that word from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He starts in verse 13 saying, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He's talking about believers who have died. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's because when we die, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Our body goes into the grave. The soul and spirit go to be with the Lord in heaven, where Jesus is right now. And our soul and spirit comes with Jesus at the time of the rapture. And he says here in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." That's when the bodies are resurrected. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians when he said that this corruptible becomes, you know, puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, and all that, and we're changed. And so the body is raised, because remember, when they've died, their soul and spirit went to be with the Lord in heaven. The body went in the grave. So the body is raised from the grave and reunited with the soul and spirit. Then it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And that phrase, to be talking about being caught up, in the Latin a version of the Bible, I believe they used rapiro in there, and that's the same word that we get rapid from, and that caught up literally means to be snatched up quickly, and that's, we talk about somebody being caught up with emotion, we say that they're enraptured, they're caught up, and so that's where we get the term rapture. It literally comes from the meaning of the word rapiro, to be snatched up quickly. And so the catching away of the believers over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So it's a very quick catching up, catching away of the believers, and it's very rapid. And we're caught up, we're raptured, we're taken away. And so that's where the word comes from. It's the word rapture, like you said, is not in the Bible, or I was saying earlier, but we get it from that phrase, to be caught up.
You say that dead shall rise first.
Right, that's the bodies of the dead in Christ, because the soul and spirit are in heaven, because it said right there that that the Lord would bring them with him. And then the dead in Christ rise first. Well, Jesus isn't coming up out of the ground. He's bringing the soul and spirit of the dead in Christ with him. And the body is raised up out of the ground.
So basically, whenever you die, your body goes into the ground, but
right,
your soul goes to heaven.
Right. Absent from the body, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And
when the dead rise first, the body will go to the soul in heaven.
Correct. That body will be changed. And if the body was burnt in a fire or eaten by the fishes or just eaten by the worms in the grave, it doesn't matter. God knows, you know, the formula to put that body together, and it'll be a recognizable body. And our bodies, the Bible says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, are changed from corruptible to incorruptible. And hey, Jeremiah, we're out of time here. Want to thank you for the call. Happy New Year to everybody. God bless you. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us.
The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.